Hey, Doc Danny here, and I just want to say thank you for listening to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. If you want to get involved in the conversation and get your questions answered and feedback from myself and 1,500 other people within the PT Entrepreneur community, head over to Facebook and join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. This is a great group for anybody that is in business or thinking about going into business for themselves and wants the support of other people like me and other practitioners out there that are entrepreneurs. So guys, thanks for listening. Enjoy this episode.
So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast.
Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and today I want to get into a little training with you guys. If you are part of the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group, there's a video that goes along with this. If you're not, the podcast will be fine, but if you haven't joined that group yet, I would highly recommend it. There's a lot of really cool stuff happening there. People helping each other out, sharing resources, connecting with each other. And it's moderated by myself and Eve Gigi as well. So, you know, we help answer your questions and help get you what you need to be successful in, practice for yourself. So this is a training I'm putting together because of some interactions I had when I was up at CSM up in DC a couple weeks ago. I met with a lot of students. I met with a lot of newer practice owners. And one of the more common questions I got was, you know, how do you get to the point where you can generate six figures, so $100,000 in a practice? And, you know, this is, I think, the first barrier, the first kind of milestone that a lot of people shoot for whenever they go in practice for themselves full time in particular. If they're, you know, working on the side, a lot of times it's really trying to get to a point where they can replace their income to some degree, and usually it's closer to like $5,000 a month. This would be $8,300 a month would be the run rate of $100,000 a year. And so what I mean by that is you took $100,000 and divided it by 12 months, and each month you generated, you know, the equivalent amount of revenue to every other month. You would need $8,300 a month in order for that to equal $100,000 revenue practice in a year, right? So what I've found in the process of helping well over 200 practices get started at this point, in particular in this performance-based model, whether it be in a gym or it be in a yoga studio, Pilates studio, anything that's similar to that, functional medicine, physician location, anything that is more kind of performance-based, wellness-based, is that there's a few variables to really get to this point within about 6 months. I think that if you do it correctly and you get started correctly, you should be able to get to a run rate of about $8,300 a month within about 6 months. And the only thing that I've found that limits this somewhat is if you move to a brand new location, it makes it really hard on you compared to somebody that is going to a place where they know a lot of people. Like this is, it's not something that is a make or break situation necessarily. I mean, I came to Atlanta and I was brand new. It does make it a little bit harder though to get started if nobody really knows who you are. That's actually a really huge help. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna dive into five steps to $100,000 run rate practice in 6 months. So that $8,300 a month run rate. So the first big component is you want to make sure that you pick the right location. So what I mean by this is, you know, you want to find an area where demographically it's a good area. So it's fairly affluent or maybe a more affluent area in your town. Especially if you can find an area where the education level is higher. You can look at this stuff on like city demographic charts and stuff, and it'll show you, you know, percent of people with a college degree, average household income, all this stuff. You can find an area that has like fairly high income level, but also has a very high education level. That's a great spot. In particular, the education, typically people that have higher education levels are more informed consumers. When they're more informed consumers, they see the value in what we do in many cases and the value of their time. They tend to be better customers, honestly, for practices like ours. The other thing that I mean by that is finding a location where there's a gym owner that really believes in what you're doing and sees value in it and wants to be a part of really helping you along the way, but also sees you as a valuable asset to their gym. So one of the big mistakes that I see is people go into a facility where the gym owner just looks at them as a way to make money potentially, not as a way for that provider to help them with retention of their members. And what we know from really any business model that has recurring revenue in it, a gym like that, the number one variable as the business grows for lifetime value of somebody staying there is retention rate. Like the difference between 5% attrition and 1% attrition is about a 5x increase in lifetime value of that person at their gym. So meaning, let's say somebody's worth $1,000 lifetime. Let's say it's a CrossFit gym and they stay on average 5 months, right? So it's $200 a month. They stay for 5 months. They're worth $1,000, right? Now, if you can decrease your attrition rate, it's going to dramatically increase the lifetime value of that person, and you're not going to have to try as hard to go and find more people. So this is a conversation I have with gym owners or people that are in our mastermind group that are actually like negotiating a place for an office in a satellite location or their first location, is that you have to really position yourself as a way to help with retention of those members. And the retention of those members is worth a significant amount to that person. If you can help with retention, you're worth a lot. And they're not going to want to charge you as much, and they're going to want to send people to you because you're helping with retention and you're helping their business thrive, not just them trying to make money off of you. So look for somebody that wants to view you as an asset to their business, not as a way to just make money off of you, right? So, and it has to be somebody that understands what you do. Like there are plenty of people don't probably know what we do that own facilities. And you know, if they've gone to PT, a good PT, like the ones that, you know, we work with, and they see the value in it, that's a win-win situation. That's what we found to be the best partnerships. And it can really change the first 6 months of somebody's practice because they have this built-in referral source with somebody that's either an owner or key coaches and trainers. It makes a huge difference. So that's number one. Find a location that's a really good fit where people are, you know, they want to see you be successful and they view you as a valuable asset to their business, not just a way to make money off of somebody that's in their doors, right? Or has a practice within their doors. Number two, okay, so you want to price effectively. And this is a massive linchpin. When you look at how much work you have to really acquire, how many visits you have to acquire, how much volume you have to get to in order to hit this goal. And this is why we were able to do it as quickly as I was, you know, we were at this within 3 months, 3 to 4 months of starting here in Atlanta. And it was because we charged a decent amount of money. So I started charging $175 a visit. Now we're at 200. I think if you can start somewhere closer to 200, you're going to be better off. Here's why. So if you look at let's say you charge $120, your average per person, right? In order for you to get to 8,300 visits, you're going to have to see 69 visits in a month total in order to get to $8,300 in revenue. Now, if you're charging $200 a visit and that's what you're getting, you only have to see 42 visits in that month in order to get to $8,300 in revenue. So that's a pretty significant difference. That's 27 visit difference within a month. You know, that's a lot of people. And you're doing 27 hours of less work one-on-one with somebody or in a practitioner setting to generate the same amount of money. Now, if you could get 69 visits at 200, it's going to be significantly more than that, right? It's going to be a lot versus $8,300. So if you price yourself effectively, you don't have to work as hard in terms of seeing as many people in order to get to that same run rate. Now, when you shoot yourself in the foot by kind of charging very, very low rates, it is hard for you to get up above really 12,000 to kind of 14,000 a month. If you're charging 200 a visit, you can get over that in a fairly short period of time. And you need margins for somebody that eventually you want to hire, right? You don't really have margins when you have really low price points. So price yourself effectively. A lot of this really comes down to your confidence level with what you're charging and the service you're providing, your conviction in how effective it is, and your ability to sell. As simple as that. Like sales training and being good at sales is, in my opinion, the number one variable of whether you're going to be successful in a cash practice or not. And Yeah, I mean, marketing is important for sure, but I can be an amazing marketer and then somebody comes to see me and they don't see value in it, they don't commit, and they're gone in a visit, or they decide not to work with me because I'm not very good at communicating my value, right? So that's really all that this comes down to. And that brings me to number three too, which is selling packages. So the sales of the sale of packages, or the utilization of packages in your sales process, is very important. And here's why. Now, when somebody decides to do a package with you, it's typically going to be at a slightly discounted rate. But if you have somebody that commits to you on the front end, and they prepay for this solution that they're looking for, the likelihood of them getting it goes up dramatically. Not only that, the drop-off rates that we've seen, this is almost 5 years of data now. When someone doesn't do a package in our practice, the drop-off rate is around like two and a half visits, meaning that's the average that we see somebody that doesn't do a package with us. Now, some of that is because we see simple acute stuff, right? Like somebody sprains their ankle, it's a youth athlete. We might see that person one or two times, right? We definitely see a lot of acute stuff, which does bring our average down slightly, but they don't need to see us, you know, a ton for things like that. Now, not everybody is like that. Sometimes they drop off because we haven't done a good enough job of, you know, getting our rationale for our plan of care across and them seeing value in it. And when they drop off at two and a half visits, whatever it might be, we know that we've just created symptom change and we haven't created long-term change. And that's a problem for us. And that's a problem for them eventually, because it doesn't actually fix their underlying problem. It just fixes the symptoms. And eventually the issue comes back. And they think we didn't do a good job when in actuality, we didn't have the time we needed to actually create the change. And we didn't do a good enough job of explaining the reason why. So packages stop the drop-off, and we get better outcomes with those people. So, you know, for you, if you're not selling packages in your practice, there's only one reason why. And the reason is that you don't know how to sell them. And you feel uncomfortable when you try to sell somebody a package. I've been there, okay? I spent a solid 2 years with packages as an option because I had a friend recommend I have packages from day one. And I probably sold a grand total of like three or four packages in the first 2 years because I was too uncomfortable to even bring up the fact that we had packages, because I didn't think that somebody would pay me around $1,000 up front for a package of visits. So I would not even bring it up. The only time I ever brought it up was when somebody asked me and they would say, "Hey, do you guys have packages that I can, you know, prepay?" "Why, yes, we do." You know, and then of course that turned into a sale. But it was a confidence thing with myself. It was a sales confidence issue. And it's something that drove me to really delve into sales training and understand the psychology of sales much better, understand, you know, how to actually improve these things. And it was very, very important for me to do that. I've spent a ton of time working on that. And now it's just very natural for me to be able to have conversations with people about the value of things that we offer. And my package rate is, you know, gone up a ton. Like if I'm seeing somebody, it's about 80%. And the only time that somebody doesn't do a package is whenever I don't offer it to them. I mean, they're acute and I don't think that they need it. Almost every single person I see does a package, and it's because I understand how to explain the value of that. But it also dramatically improves the outcomes that we get for people, and it dramatically improves your cash flow. So here's what I want you to think about. So your cash flow, right? So during a month, let's say you see, I don't know, 20 people. let's make it easier on ourselves. Let's say 40 people, right? So 40 people, you see 40 people at 800 or 40 people at $200 a visit, that gives you $8,000 in cash flow. Okay. So that's how much you've generated in that month. That means that's what you can pay yourself. That's what you can reinvest into marketing. That's what you can reinvest into learning new things, which that's a decent amount of money, right? But let's say of these 40 people, of these 40 visits, you had 10 people that decided they were going to pay you up front, right? So you had 10 people pay you upfront and they decided to commit to you for, let's say, like 10 visits or something like that. And it's, let's say, around $2,000 a visit, or $2,000, I'm sorry, a package. So this would equal $20,000 plus some of the other visits that you're generating. So your cash flow has doubled to tripled because you have now gotten people to prepay for visits that you still have to earn. But what this allows you to do is to have a lot more money in the bank right away. And what does that allow you to do? That allows you to then invest in things that are going to bring more people in to see you, right? So that could be digital advertising. That could be sponsoring a local race. That could be learning a new technique. It could be joining a mastermind group to learn other things. It could be a number of different things if you reinvest successfully in that. If you take that out and buy a BMW with it, you're in trouble because you haven't necessarily earned that just yet. You still have to get the visits. You have to provide the visits, but it gives you an opportunity to have improved cash flow to then reinvest into things that are going to get you more patients or more revenue associated with it. That's one of the main reasons why we like packages so much. It improves the rate that somebody's going to commit to you, but it also increases your cash flow dramatically, which then lets you reinvest in your business to grow it faster. And this is how people can grow well past $100,000 in their first year of business if they're reinvesting in the right things with that cash flow that they're getting. So if you can pay yourself minimally, pay yourself for the first year like you're, you know, still in school. Just the minimum, live in a crappy place, pay yourself hardly anything, reinvest as much as you possibly can that first year. And that second, third, fourth, fifth year, you're going to be in such a better place financially because of it. Now, step four would be building local relationships or your local reputation, I should say. This comes down to a couple things. Number one, you have to get out of your office and go do things in the community. This, for me, this was teaching workshops and events. And I would teach, you know, lunch and learns at local businesses. I would teach workshops at different types of gyms, studios, any place where there's some sort of wellness activity happening, I would go and teach there. And I would go and I would meet with other coaches, trainers, gym owners. I would get to know these people. I would go and drop in. I would work out at different gyms and I would actually start to build relationships with people in the area. And it wasn't ever, this is a huge mistake. Don't just go and be like, hey, you should just refer people to me. That's the worst way to start a relationship. Just don't start the relationship by asking for something. You know, start the relationship by trying to figure out how you can help that person, whether it be sending the right people their way, teaching for their gym to like really excite their members about something, or maybe they're struggling with trying to improve whatever mobility or some issue within their gym. You can help teach their members how to really take care of themselves in some capacity and improve their retention, a lot of things. And, you know, you getting out and actually developing these relationships is huge. You can also join things like local networking groups. There's plenty of people that we work with in our mastermind that are really like heavily involved in BNI groups or, you know, local chamber of business groups. It's really about who knows you than anything else. I'm involved in local entrepreneurs groups. You know, I go and I network a decent amount locally, just with certain providers. Now I've really narrowed it down to probably about 10 key relationships within the city that really drive a lot of business. But early on, like, it's really just about get out and meet as many people as you can. The ones you really hit it off with, those are the ones you're going to want to really kind of continue that relationship with. But if people don't know who you are, it's problematic because, you know, that's a lot of business. A lot of businesses, people knowing who you are and what your product or service is and recommending that to other people. And business owners in particular tend to know a lot of other people because they're typically involved within the community. So make sure you get out of your office, you go teach, you go educate people, you go and you work in some capacity at growing your reputation in that area. And this is why I alluded to the fact that if you're new to an area, it can be hard, frustrating, but you can work through that by getting out in the community more. If you're from an area, you have deep roots there, all your family lives there, your uncle's an attorney there, and your grandfather was a dentist, you're going to crush it if you continue to do this stuff as well and build your local reputation. But you're going to have such an easier time doing it because you already have people that are recommending you to their friends and family members. That's a hard place to start if you're in a new area. So you can do it. You just got to get out there and you got to get in front of people, as many as you possibly can. And I typically recommend you try to do some sort of event, some sort of workshop, some sort of education event of some kind, you know, 4 to 6 times a month for that first 6 months that you're in business. More if you can, you know, get those lined up, and then try to meet with at least the same number of you know, meetings either at gyms or with trainers and coaches, whether it be grabbing coffee or going to get a workout in and dropping in at their facility, chatting with some coaches afterward, whatever. I mean, you got to get in front of people and you got to do it regularly, at least for the first 6 to 12 months to build that reputation. You got to continue it as you go because you got a local service business. You can't not do this stuff. It just is part of the job. It's part of the business. But you can taper it down after that first 6 to 12 months as people start to understand who you are. Now, number five is very much overlooked, very easy to do, but easy to forget as well. So number five would be to effectively ask for referrals and reviews. Okay. So what we found is asking for a referral can be as simple as just explaining to a patient that you have, that you have already gotten a good relate or a good response with. So let's say you've seen them three times and most of their problems are gone. You're working on progressions to improve, you know, whatever, some sports specific stuff. And you can say like, hey, you know, Dave, you know, we really like working with people like yourself who are runners. And being a small business, we don't have a giant marketing budget like some of the corporate practices do. I would greatly appreciate it if you know anybody like yourself who's a runner, who's banged up, who's trying to get back to the sports that they really, really like with all the people that they enjoy being around. You know, if you pass my name along to them and connect us via email, just CC me on it and connect us. I'd love to be able to have a conversation with them and see if we're a good fit to help them as well get back to running like we've done for you. And honestly, asking somebody to send the right kind of person to you, this is important. Don't just say, hey, it'd be awesome if you send me a referral. It's so vague. They don't know what to do. You have to train them on who you're looking for and what to do. So connect me via email with any of your running friends that are like you, that are training for X, Y, and Z, that are banged up. Do you know anybody like that? If you do, I would greatly appreciate it if you would connect us via email and I'll set up a time to talk to them and see if they're a good fit and we can help them. Just like we've helped you, right? So you can do that before you technically are done with a plan of care. Now, towards the end of a plan of care, one of the better things to do is ask for a review. And in particular, reviews on Google are really effective because they do help with your search rankings, but they also help with credibility. People will look you up. That's one of the first things that they look at is reviews of other people. This happens to us all the time. You know, we've got about 75 Google reviews. You know, we work pretty hard on getting people to leave us reviews. It can be a little bit challenging sometimes. Not everybody does it. But here's what we found. If you can find somebody that has a Gmail address, a Gmail email account, that's your best bet because they don't have to go and create an account to leave a Google review. They already have one. It's a very easy process. And for you to actually ask that person in the office, like, hey, we've noticed that most of the time when people come in to see us, they tend to check our reviews out. And it's a big selling factor for whether they come in to see us or not. You know, I think we've had a really awesome outcome with you. I'd love, you know, for you to be able to share your story with people in a review. And I'd really appreciate it if you take a couple minutes to be able to do that. I'll send you an email follow-up that has like a link directly to where it's at. It'll take you a couple minutes. That's it. I can even give you some pointers on like what people typically say if you got writer's block, right? So follow up with them with an email and let them know, hey, awesome seeing you in the office today. Here's where you can go to leave a review. This is what a lot of people say, kind of general framework of like, you know, where you were before, what you went through and what you're back to now. And then, you know, leave it here. I'd greatly appreciate it. And, you know, we typically will get about 50 to 75% of people that we ask to do that to actually go and leave us a review. People get busy, you know, and you don't want to necessarily badger them, but you can definitely follow up with them on it. It does make a big difference. And think of it as a consumer yourself. So if you go and you search, I don't know, a restaurant or anything, any service business, but let's say a restaurant. You go to a restaurant and you're kind of torn. There's two Mediterranean restaurants in the same area, right? You're like, oh man, which one do I go? Like the pita factory or like all we do is pitas. And all you look at is you Google search them. You look at it and all of a sudden you see one has 2 5-star reviews, let's say, and the other one has 75 5-star reviews. You don't know either of these restaurants. You've never been there. They say you've never had anybody recommend you go there. You know, you just want a pita really bad. And my guess is you're going to pick the one that has 75 reviews versus 2 because that's human nature. right? We believe strangers, complete strangers' opinions, more so than we would probably want to admit. And reviews are social proof, period. And the more social proof you have, the more actual social proof you have, the more likely it is that people are going to want to work with you because you've kind of been pre-vetted by somebody else. So they don't have to do the legwork trying to figure that out, right? So asking for referrals, asking for reviews, this is one of the most important things you can do early on to really develop that framework of a solid foundation of your practice. And once you get, I believe it's 5 Google reviews, the little yellow stars pop up next to your name in the map or the search. And believe it or not, that helps a lot with people actually clicking through to your website. And the more you have, the better it is. You just have to chip away at them in a consistent manner. So if you can add 3 to 5 of those every month, you know, conservatively over the course of a year, all of a sudden you're at a lot of reviews, and your practice's foundation looks really good. You're asking people for referrals. Now, granted, I didn't say one time about paid advertising. I'm a fan for sure of paid advertising, digital advertising, sponsoring local events, things that you're reinvesting in your marketing. But to get to this point, you don't even need to touch that stuff. Really, to get to $20,000 a month in revenue, you don't even have to touch that stuff. We know people that we've worked with that haven't done a lick of digital marketing that are well over $20,000 a month in revenue just by having solid reputations locally and following these 5 things. That's it. And if you want to layer that on, you can do that. It's a great way to leverage your marketing and to reach more people without necessarily having to go out and meet with people. Too often I see PTs too early on in their practice trying to throw a bunch of money at Facebook and Google and not realizing that if you don't have a local reputation, the likelihood of your advertisements converting is much lower. So let's just say Google first, for instance. Let's say you have a Google ad you put up, Google AdWords, and that drives people to, you know, your homepage, something like that. They're not just going to look at your homepage. You're going to look your business up. So they go to look up your business. They go to your Facebook page. You have 5 people that like your page and you have 1 review on Facebook. They go look you up on Google and you have 1 Google review and, you know, really no history of anything there in terms of reputation. The likelihood of them calling you or submitting a request to work with you is much lower than if you have an infrastructure of actual social proof in place. And that doesn't necessarily happen overnight. So if you can build this social proof, when you layer on digital advertising on top of it, it becomes much more cost effective and you'll get better results from it. So what I typically see is when people that want to do paid ads, like from the get-go, it's that they think that if they do that, all of a sudden they'll have this, you know, crazy amount of leads are going to come and see them. And in my experience, you can definitely generate leads via digital marketing, but it helps a ton whenever you have an established reputation in place to leverage that ad off of. The other thing is they're typically providers that don't want to go out and get in front of people. And they think that, oh, I can autopilot this this Google ad and that's all I need. Well, it can help for sure, but you can't replace the fact that you've got to get out in front of people. So if you think you can just sit in your office and just be a Facebook ninja, guys, you got to really understand, you got to get out in front of people too in a local service business before you really layer some of this stuff on. And not to say you can't be effective with it. You totally can, especially if you have amazing content. You can get amazing content put in front of the right people. And that's a great way to build your reputation and for people to understand who you are. But before you go mess with all that stuff, spend the time to go face-to-face, meet with people, you know, charge the right amount of money, get your package sales down, build a local reputation, and then ask for referrals and reviews. And you'd be shocked at how much faster you can build your business in this cash practice setting than if you just spend the whole time creating blog content that you're trying to send Google and Facebook ads to versus shaking somebody's hand and letting them know who you are. The connection level is totally different there. It's scarier to in person go and see somebody and potentially get turned down. And that's why I think a lot of people are averse to some of that. But you cannot replace the local reputation relationship building that you get from actually going and meeting people, doing events, teaching workshops, dropping in and saying hello to people and curating these relationships. It'll lay the groundwork for a successful practice well beyond $100,000 in revenue that you can then do some of this kind of next level ninja stuff with, that definitely works, but man, it's way more cost effective when you have these other things in place. So that's it. There's five steps to get to $100,000 run rate, in 6 months. Now, for some of you, if you've been struggling with this, if you feel like, you know, you've made some mistakes and you want help with this, we can help you. And I'm going to leave a link in the comment section of this post within the Facebook group. You can click on that and check it out to actually request a time to jump on a phone call with me. So if you have a practice, you just started, you're at, you know, under $10,000 a month in revenue, or more than $10,000 a month in revenue, but if you're trying to get to the point where you're able to get to $100,000 in revenue, like, we can talk about that. And I can help you get really clear on what you should be charging, who your target demographic is, and then where to find more of them. And if it sounds like we're a mutual fit for each other to help you grow your business, and, you know, for us to be a part of that and add some structure and systems and actually get you there faster, then, you know, I'll talk to you about it towards the end of the call if we think it's a mutual fit. If not, we won't. And you'll get some great information. You'll be able to grow your business and you'll leave with a lot of clarity within, you know, you have whatever you have going on. And at this point, you know, we've helped, like I said, well over 200 practices be able to start, grow, and scale well past $50,000, $60,000 a month in revenue in 100% cash practices, which is, it's, you say that number out loud, people think it's crazy, but it's true. It's happening all over the country. And if you'd like to get to that same point, click on the link, get yourself scheduled to submit an application for a call with us. And I'd love nothing more than jump on the phone with you and dig into your business for a little bit and help you clarify some stuff and see if you are a fit for, you know, how we might be able to help you get there faster. So guys, as always, thank you so much for listening and we'll catch you next time.
Hey, I just want to say thanks for listening to today's show. If you liked what you heard and you're interested in seeing if you're a fit to work with us, here's what I want you to do next. Head over to physicaltherapybiz.com/call. That's physicaltherapybiz.com/call and book an appointment to speak with our team today. We'll jump on the phone with you for about 45 minutes and we'll get you crystal clear on three things in your business. Number one, what price should you be charging? Number two, what target audience should you be going after? And number three, what strategies should you be using to reach those people? Remember, scaling your cash PT business doesn't happen by itself. You need expert guidance to make it happen. We've helped cash PT owners all over the country scale to multiple six-figure businesses, all while creating huge impact in their communities. To see if we can help you do the same thing, head over to physicaltherapybiz.com/call. I'm Danny Matei, and let's talk soon.